Hi everybody, my name's Mickey Bush, I'm an alcoholic. I'm probably an addict too. In Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, I identify as an alcoholic and probably an addict. Because that's the way we like it done. We like to identify one alcoholic to another alcoholic. So in Alcoholics Anonymous, I like to identify as an alcoholic. Because that's the way we like it done. Seems to work pretty good that way. It worked pretty good that way, way back in 35 when Bill met Bob. It worked pretty good for me 19 years ago on January the 15th, 1983. And if you're new around here, if you're new like the folk we just give the books to, I've absolute faith and trust that if you're alcoholic, it'll work pretty good for you too. So in Alcoholics Anonymous, I identify as an alcoholic and probably an addict, because that's the way we like it done. Well, I'm a real alcoholic. I am a real alcoholic, a total alcoholic. Everything about me is alcoholic. Everything I say, do, think and feel is alcoholic. It's not just a part of me alcoholic or a big part of me that ain't alcoholic. I'm all alcoholic. See? Don't confuse me with anybody who ain't alcoholic or might not be alcoholic or only a little bit alcoholic. I'm all alcoholic. See? So being a real alcoholic, I have the right to be dysfunctional in as many ways as I like. Don't tell me I'm limited or restricted. So consequently, I do loads of other. I always drank, but I never only drank. I always drank, but I never only drank. See, I also did loads of other things. Lots of things. Good things. And bad things. Like drugs. I did mountains of drugs. And so consequently, I get invited to speak in Narcotics Anonymous meetings and Cocaine Anonymous meetings and other 12-step programs as well. And when I identify in their meetings, I identify as an addict and probably an alcoholic. Because that's the way they like it done too, see? And I don't have a problem with that today. I know you do, but I don't. Now, I know that some alcoholics didn't do drugs. Some alcoholics just and only drank alcohol. And if you're an alcoholic who just and only drank alcohol, a specialist, I'm really glad you're here. I'm no specialist. I'm a chemical gourmet, me. I told my sponsor, I'm a chemical connoisseur. He said, no, Mick, you're a chemical kind of sewer is what you are. The truth of the matter is, like a lot of you guys know me, and so you know that really if there's a 12-step program of any kind, I'm a contender for it, you know. Don't matter what it is, for heaven's sake. AANACA, ACA, Overeaters, Little Peters, it don't matter what it is, for Christ's sake. If there's 12 steps attached to your armor contender for it, what can I tell you? I better back up a little bit and tell you the rigorously honest truth, because I did actually go to a Little Peter meeting, but they wouldn't let me in, said I didn't qualify. They let Walt in, our taper. They let Walt in. Oh, Walt was all right. So you get the picture, you know. I very sick, very, very sick. You know. When I got to Alcoholics Anonymous on January the 15th, 1983, I was so sick that I never knew I was sick. Do you know how sick that is? Do you know how sick it is to be so sick that you don't know you're sick? That's really sick. And if you can relate, and maybe you can be like me. You know, you come to a meeting like this, for example, and you come around and you're so sick, and you look around the room and you think, well, at least I'm not as sick as him. Do you know how sick it is to be so sick that you think you're not as sick as someone else? That's really sick. So if you're wondering whether you is or whether you isn't a real alcoholic in here tonight, I want you to know that I can relate to being as sick as you don't think you are. Really sick. And I never knew. I do today. I wrote a word for sick. I just wrote it. It's not on any sheets or anything. It's a new word. Sick. S-I-C-K. Spiritually ill can kill.
Ooh. Ooh.
And I never knew. I never had a clue, not till I got here. You know, I'm really glad to be here, and, you know, this is a huge meeting. I never expected it to be a big convention like this, and real glad to be here, and I thank you for inviting me. And several of you have said that you know me through tapes, and, oh, I got your speaker tape. I ain't got no tapes. I don't have nothing to do with tapes. I don't know anything about tapes. I know that if you're listening to them, you're bloody sick like me, I'll tell you that. Because I don't get through to no well people, you know. Walt's got all the tapes, Encore cassettes, they do a great job. Oh, this is really good standing here, you know. There's a big mirror there, I can see myself right there, look. Damn, this is good, yeah. For all you ugly people, I never came in this good looking, you know. I wasn't this good looking when I got here. I was definitely no bloody vision for you, I can tell you that. But today I like me quite a lot, you know. I never knew, you know, nothing about gratitude or anything like that. I do today. You know, I never knew about gratitude and a way of life. I never knew nothing. I never knew nothing about nothing. When I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I never knew nothing about nothing. I thought I knew everything about everything, but I actually knew nothing about nothing. Never knew nothing about grateful. Gratitude, wow. And you know what? I've had something to be grateful for all my life. All my life I've had something to be grateful for. Never knew it, because I don't see things like that. You know what I mean? But think about it. I just told you my name's Mickey Bush. Mickey Bush. Think about that. Mickey Bush. That puts me somewhere between a mouse and a president. You know what I mean? They must have known something when they named me as well. They named me after two beers, for heaven's sake. You know, Mickey's Big Mouth and Anheuser Bush, you know. But I never knew nothing about gratitude and grateful. I mean, but, you know, I mean, I am really grateful, for example, my name ain't Harry. Can you imagine going through life with a name like Harry Bush? Yeah, yeah, well, screw you lot, yeah. I don't know nothing about nothing. I love the beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous. I love this beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous. Anybody read the book, by the way? It's a good idea. You know why they coloured it blue and yellow? Because that's the colour we are when we come in, you know. For you guys who didn't pee before you come in, save your bladders all that pressure. Look, I'll tell you what Alcoholics Anonymous means. Look, A-L-C-O-H-O-L-I-C-S, Alcoholics. A-N-O-N-Y-M-O-U-S, Alcoholics Anonymous. A life centered on helping others lives in complete sobriety. Actions, not our names, yield maintenance of unity and service. And that's all there is, folks. There ain't no more than that. That's all there is. That's all there is, and it's right here in the beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous. I just came back from South Africa. I spoke at the South Africa National Convention. Travelled all over South... ...29 days sober, look. Forgive him, that must be his parole officer. I thought it was my balls clanging together then. I mean, you can laugh. But I got told off for talking about the big book in South Africa. They told me off. I shouldn't have, like, pressed the big book. And, well, if I'm going to offend anybody for talking about the big book, in Russia they call it Tufsky Shitsky. You know? I love the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous, and I hope you do too. You know, when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous on January the 15th, 1983, I was so sick, dying of a disease I never knew I had. And I'm really glad that I never heard It was just suggested only. And I never heard things like that, I was equal to you. I wasn't equal to you. How could I be equal to you? If I had been equal to you, what I had would have been equal to what you had. And it wasn't. I was dying of a disease I didn't even know I had. You guys were walking in the sunlight of the Spirit. I needed and wanted everything you had. You didn't want nothing I had. And I never heard, and I'm glad I never heard, that it was just suggested. In fact, I can't even find any literature that says it's only suggested we do the steps. If you do, let me see it. I'd like to read it. I knew how to work things like suggestions. You know, this book that says of itself, our book is meant to be suggestive only. Well, it may have bloody well meant to be, but it ain't. It's got clear-cut, precise instructions, directions and rules to follow. You know, and I'm glad that you guys taught me and taught me well. You know, I didn't know what happened on January the 15th, 1983, until I kept coming back. You guys gave me the message before I even got into a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. Before I even got into a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, I heard the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was living up there in West Hollywood, just above Sunset Boulevard. If you know West Hollywood, you know that it's a special part of town. Some folk here know, I guess. You know, it's the kind of town they commonly refer to it as Boys Town. You know, if you're not sure what I mean, it's the kind of town where if you drop your wallet on Santa Monica Boulevard, you've got to kick it up to Sunset before you can pick it up. You know. If you're gay, don't worry. I mean, no one cares anyway. You know, don't be offended. I just hit bottom. I didn't know it, but I just hit bottom. And I'd walked down to this meeting, an Architects of Adversity meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. I know now that God had done for me what I couldn't do for myself. I know that as clearly as that gorgeous sunray setting that happened tonight. Did anybody else see that out of the window? The gorgeous sunset this evening? Outstanding. Anyway, I walked down to this meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous in San Vicente Hill in West Hollywood. I'd just come off a run, you know, broke, busted, disgusted and not to be trusted. I was oozing booze and news from every pore of my body. I was grey, antisocial, foreign, aggressive. And as I approached this meeting, there was two dudes standing outside. Well, today, of course, I know them as greeters. I didn't know them then. One of them stepped forward with his hand out. I said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want to welcome you to AA." I said, "What?" He said, "Welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous." I said, "What?" And the other guy said, "Keep coming back." I said, "What for?" He said, "We love you." I said, "I bet you do." When dudes tell you they love you in West Hollywood, it takes on a new meaning, you know what I mean? But I didn't know they were giving me the welcome that we give newcomers. Newcomers are often surprised how we know they're new, don't we? Like our dudes here tonight. You know, I didn't know. Guy stuck his hand out and said, "You're new." I went, "How do you know I'm new?" But you know, I'm a blackout drinker. Any other blackout drinkers here? And the rest of you lying mothers, I know blackout drinkers when I see them. I'm a miracle drinker. I go out drinking and miracles occur in front of my very eyes. If you're a blackout drinker, you may know what I mean. Has anybody ever gone out and drank somebody good looking? Round about 26 bucks worth of booze will make any old wretch good looking, you know. Sometimes you wake up next to it the following morning, you know what I mean? Done that? I woke up next to it one morning and went, oh, you're ugly, get out. She said, "You get out, this is my house." There's more people laughing than raise their hands. Well, I'm a blackout drinker. I don't know. I never even knew what a blackout was. I mean, I black out all my life. I came out of a blackout once walking down a street in Spain. I went out drinking in London. You know something's happened when you go out drinking in foggy, wet, rainy London and you come out of a blackout in sunshine with palm trees around you and stuff. Ain't no sunshine and palm trees in London. I was walking down the street with an Eskimo chick. Where the hell do we find them? We meet some weird wackos, don't we? That last day, January the 15th, 1983, I came out of a blackout sitting on my couch in front of my table, my coffee table. I went, wow. Now, if you're anything like me, you seem to remember little smatterings of memory, but it don't all fit together and you can't quite place it together and you know things ain't right, you know what I mean? It's like the beautiful book says, P-A-I-D, paid, pitiful and incomprehensibly demoralised, you know? I never ever came out of a blackout happy, joyous and free. I never ever came out of a blackout heading up a charity show or, you know, giving a kid a toy or doing something nice for somebody, you know what I mean? I came out of this blackout, I don't know where I've been, don't know what I've been doing, it's Tuesday. I went out drinking Sunday lunchtime. My best friend was visiting, he's an international businessman, he calls himself. International crook is what he is. He was visiting from Spain. I called him up, and he was really pissed off. Told me, piss off, he said. Just piss off. I know it won't happen again, because I won't be in your company when you're drinking anymore. I went, what? We'd known each other all our life. We'd scavenged and scrounged our way out of the Second World War and robbed and cheated and lied and screwed our way around the planet a couple of times. And here he was telling me to piss off. Didn't know what to do. I felt all little inside and rejected. And there was another dude that had been hanging about a lot. He was an English rock and roll singer and we were pals and he'd been hanging around a lot. He just seemed to be around a lot. I didn't know it, but he was 2.5 years sober. He'd been 12-stepping me. I didn't know what he was doing or anything about that. But I needed to talk to someone, as I did, and I picked up the phone and called him. And he laughed. I said, what are you laughing at? He said, you. I said, why? He said, because you do weird shit, that's why. I said, what do you mean? And he laughed. Oh, big belly laughs. What do you keep laughing for? He said, you don't remember what you got up to over the weekend, do you? I said, no. He said, have you called your friend Mickey from Spain? I went, yeah, he told me to piss off. And he laughed. I went, I don't like being laughed at. Will you stop laughing? He said, you don't know what you got up to, do you? I said, no, what? He said, I ain't had a drink for 2.5 years. I said, how come? He said, because I used to drink like you. I said, what do you mean? I said, what happened? He said, well, it all started after you peed in that lady's dinner. I said, what? Oh, my God. I said, what do you mean? He said, your pal took us all out to that smart Beverly Hills restaurant for a special treat. He said, and in the middle of the restaurant, you got all ticked off at some old lady and got up and walked across the store and whacked it out and did it right in her spaghetti. I went, oh, my God. I said, oh, I'll have to talk to you some other time. But I would do things like that and I wouldn't remember. And I'd go back in that club or that restaurant 2 days later or something and they'd say, one look at me and go, oh, how the hell you got the balls to come in here after what you did? And I'd go, what do you mean? Because I wouldn't remember. And they'd call the cops or something, I'd be in trouble again and cart me off and that. That's what always seemed to be happening. And I didn't even know what a blackout was. I was in this meeting, the guy said, you was in a blackout. I said, no, I wasn't. I don't know what it was, but denied it anyway, just in case. I didn't know it was a disease of denial. I do today. I wrote a word, denial. D-E-N-I-A-L. Don't even notice I am lying. Yeah. He said, yeah, we called it a blackout. I said, no, I was awake. I was doing shit. He said, I said, blackout, idiot, not pass out. I went, oh. I didn't know that you did things in a blackout that you didn't remember, like travel and other things, you know. Yeah. I don't know nothing about nothing. I think I know everything about everything, but I know nothing about nothing. You know, I'm an alcoholic, for heaven's sake. When my butt's on a bar stool, I know everything. When I'm drinking, I'll tell you anything. No matter what you do, I know about it. You want to know how the space shuttle blew up? I'll tell you, because I know. In fact, I only miss being on it by that much. In fact, if I hadn't have been drinking, I would have been on it. Because I know everything. But I actually knew nothing about nothing. It's not that I'm an idiot. I'm not an idiot. I'm a smart dude. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a happening guy. I've got a great education. I've got letters after my name, for heaven's sake. I've got a PhD. Pretty heavy drinker. But I don't know nothing about nothing. Went to that first meeting. This guy came walking across the room. Another English rock and roll singer. I went, oh, what are you doing here? He said, I'm leading the meeting. I said, how come? He said, I'm 22 months sober. We've been saving you a seat. I went, ugh. Thought I was going to catch something. 22 months sober. He put his arm around me and gave me a big hug. I went, oh, oh, what are you doing? He said, giving you a hug. I said, I don't do hugs. I do today. You know. Guy said, you're alcoholic. I said, what? He said, you're alcoholic. Now, contrary to what a lot of people say, the beautiful book don't say we don't tell folk they're alcoholic. It says we prefer not to, we'd rather not. But on page 187, when Bill and Bob are doing the third man on the bed, they tell him, you are an alcoholic. He said, I didn't really think much about that. I figured I was just a drunk. They said, no, you got an illness. There's something wrong with you. Guy said it to me. You're alcoholic. Alcoholic? You're an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic? You're an alcoholic. Alcoholic? You're an alcoholic. I thought that was bloody mean to say a thing like that. Say a thing like that to a dude. What do you mean? You're alcoholic. Why'd you say that? Because if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck and sounds like a duck and smells like a duck, it's a bloody duck. Just because you've been taking some shit and thinks he's an eagle, no, you're a duck. You're a duck, I'm a duck. Quack, quack, he said. I went, wow. Oh, alcoholic. Said I'm alcoholic. Alcoholic? Wow. Alcoholic. Alcoholic? Wow. Alcoholic, for heaven's sake. Wow. Alcoholic. Said I'm an alcoholic. Far out. Far out. Alcoholic. He said I'm alcoholic. I ain't nuts. I ain't crazy. I'm alcoholic. They've been locking me up in nut wards all my life. I ain't nuts. I ain't crazy. I'm alcoholic. Far out. Being alcoholic was like a step up for me. I went, wow. Far out. Wow, I've been locked up in places cuckoos wouldn't bloody fly over, man, you know what I mean? Wow, I couldn't wait to run back and knocked on Mickey's door. I said, hey, guess what? I'm an alcoholic. I'm powerless over alcohol. My life's unmanageable. He said, no shit. I thought it was going to be a surprise. Everybody knew, except me. I never knew, you know. Now, I never knew either what was different about January the 15th, 1983, as to any other time, you know. But I do today, because I did what you guys told me. You said, keep coming back. You didn't tell me to get out and go somewhere else. You said, keep coming back. Wow, and I did. And more got revealed, such as what happened on January the 15th, 1983. And I never knew. And it's a really strange thing. But you know what's not mentioned in the beautiful program of Alcoholics Anonymous in this book? Hitting bottom. Strange that, isn't it? Hitting bottom is not mentioned in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's why I think so many of us are confused about this. And I think it's a big detriment, and I think it's a great contributor to why 95% of us are not making it in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's far too many, isn't it? There has to be reasons why 95% of the folk who get here are not making a program that really works. See, and I never knew. But some of you guys did, and you taught me. See, I never knew that on January the 15th, 1983, I hit bottom. Didn't know what it was. Didn't know what it meant. Like I didn't know what it was to be an alcoholic. But you guys did, and you taught me. Later on, that duck and the eagle story became very important. Because I ask folk today, I run sober living houses and I work with a lot of notorious slippers and relapsers. And I ask folk, what is it about you that makes you alcoholic? Well, they tell me, well, once I start, I can't stop. No, I don't want to know what you do because you're alcoholic. What is it about you that makes you alcoholic? Well, I can't control my drinking. Yeah, alcoholics can't control their drinking, but I want to know what it is about you that makes you alcoholic. Because in the beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous, it says, we learned we had to fully concede to our innermost self that we were alcoholic. This is the first step in recovery. It's the first step in recovery, but it's not the first of the 12. So what is it that makes you alcoholic? You know what? They don't know. How can they fully concede to their innermost self that they are if they don't know what it is about them that makes them what they're saying they are? In one of my sober living houses, I got two parakeets, a blue one and a green one. Bill and Bob is their name. And I've taught them to speak. And they speak. You can stand next to the cage and they'll screech out at you in a limey accent, I might add. I'm an alcoholic! I'm an alcoholic! I'm powerless! Powerless! They're bloody parakeets is what they are. But they can say they're alcoholic. Well, I ask folk what it is about them that makes them alcoholic. You know what? They don't know. They can say they is one, but they don't know what it is about them that makes them one. And I didn't either. But some of you guys did, and you taught me. That duck and the eagle story, he was describing to me later on, when more got revealed, what it was about me that made me alcoholic. See, what it was about me that made me alcoholic wasn't what I do because I'm alcoholic. It wasn't the alcoholic addictive behaviour that transpired after I drank. It was something else. See, what he was describing to me was that what makes me alcoholic is the fact that alcohol changes my perception of reality. I have an abnormal reaction to alcohol, and alcohol changes my perception of reality. Alcohol does what he told me with the duck and the eagle. I go out drinking as a duck, have a few, and turn into an eagle and go swooping around looking for prey. Alcohol changes me from a duck to an eagle. Or Mary in my home group puts it as good as I've ever heard anybody put it. She's this delicate little dudette, badass drunk. She says when she drinks, she feels wittier, prettier, and tittier. You know? And I know what she means. I call it a nerd remover. Alcohol removes the nerdness. I feel like a nerd, I drink and I don't feel like a nerd. I feel like a nerd and I drink and I don't care if I'm a nerd. I feel like a nerd and I drink and you're a bloody nerd, screw you. See, it removes the nerdness. See, that's what it is about me that makes me alcoholic, and I never knew that. See, I had to learn that. And that's what the book said I had to do. I had to learn that. I didn't already know. And on January the 15th, 1983, I hit bottom. Now, I didn't know what hitting bottom was either. But some of you guys did, and you taught me. I asked folk to give me their bottom. I asked folk, give it to me. Give me what, roughly speaking, was your bottom. You'd be amazed at what I get told. I get told, well, I was hustling the Broadway feet to the curb trying to earn a dollar. Well, I was broke, busted, disgusted, and not to be trusted. Well, I was locked up in a penitentiary, married to Bubba. You know? Nothing to do with hitting bottom. See, in meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous, we say, well, it's different for everybody. Everybody's bottom's different. Better not be different. Better be the same. If we understand what hitting bottom is, but it's not in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, so how would we know? Well, some of us had to teach the others, didn't we? See, hitting bottom wasn't the outside circumstances and conditions of my life like I thought they was and like I described to you. See, hitting bottom was an inside job, not an outside set of circumstances and conditions. All that, the kids were took off me, I had no job, I was laying in detox, I was homeless, helpless, you know, powerless. All that is the outside circumstances and conditions of my life. It's not hitting bottom. That's outside stuff. Hitting bottom's an inside job. That's why those celebrities and millionaires I sponsor have to hit bottom just as devastatingly as those guys on Skid Row I work with. See, hitting bottom's not about our... I know that the mentality of the alcoholic is one geared towards selfishness and worldly clamours, as the book says, and we consider how far down we went, but that's not what hitting bottom is. Sometimes those outside circumstances enable us to become capable of hitting bottom, but in and of themselves, they're not the bottom. And if you think they are, I got news for you. Here, in recovery, you will hit bottom after bottom after bottom and get sicker and sicker and sicker if we don't understand what it truly means. And on January the 15th, 1983, I can remember quite distinctly what happened. Amazing. I absolutely know it was God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. On January the 15th, 1983, in desperation and despair, helpless and hopeless, absolutely, totally powerless, I can remember without knowing what I was saying or who I was saying it to or what I was going to do about it, but I can just remember in desperation saying something to the effect of like, help me, please help me, what is wrong with me? I can't stand this anymore. Anybody relate to that? And asked for help. That's what hitting bottom is. Having been rendered powerless by the disease that I don't even know I got, helpless and hopeless, I asked for help. ASK, Ask Saving Kit. Help, H-E-L-P, His Ever-Loving Presence. And you know what? It was almost like the old man seemed to be looking over my shoulder. And he just seemed to say to me, Mick, you silly bugger, I've been waiting for you to ask. Now get yourself over to that AA meeting. Sent me to you. I asked for help, and he sent me to you. Wow. I asked for help, and he sent me to you. That's why I know that God and the power are different. See, we have so much confusion from folk talking about, well, I have problems with the Godship. No need for it. In the first two steps, do you see God, Jesus, Buddha, Allah, Muhammad, higher power mentioned? Not even mentioned. Call it bloody Mishiganovich if you like. We don't care. No one cares. A power greater than self. I was helpless and hopeless. I had an illness that I couldn't beat and that could beat me. A lot of people don't seem to recognize that. I was powerless over it, but it wasn't powerless over me. It could and did kick my butt. You know, I was powerless over it. That's why I know today that I can't not drink just because I want to. I can't just because I got a desire not to. Having a desire not to is the only requirement for membership, but I can't rely on it. I got to have a desire, but I can't rely on it. It's like hope. You can have hope, but you can't rely on it. I got to have a desire to quit, but I can't rely on it because the disease I got is more powerful than my desire not to. I've got to have a desire not to, but then I've got to do these steps and this work so that I don't do what I already don't want to do. And if I ain't doing these steps and this work or don't know what these steps and this work is, I will do what I don't want to do because the disease I've got that I'm powerless over will make me do what I don't want to do. You think I knew that when I got here? I don't want to drink today, but I've got a disease that does. And that disease that does is more powerful than my desire not to. So I can't just rely on the fact that I don't want to drink today. All we got is today. In the beautiful book it says, we feel elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. Far greater demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupations and affairs. So yes, we have to stop drinking, and one day at a time is how we do it. But that's only a beginning. If you want to stay at the beginning, have a bloody party. I don't. Elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. So yes, we have to do that before then going on to do all this other stuff. Now, I never knew that. How would I know that? I wouldn't know about, you know, the second step. Can't even believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. Well, I've been locked up in nut wards all my life. I've been in like crazy. I've been chained down and ostracised from society and locked away and shot up with tranquilizer drugs and zapped on electric machines. Never, don't volunteer for that, by the way, if you, you know, it don't work, you know. But, you know, I don't know nothing. I mean, that's not the babbling lunatic insanity that we're talking about around here, is it, in the second step? Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore me to sanity. Well, people who are sane don't need restoring to sanity. But what does it mean? You guys described insanity as being repeating the same behaviour and expecting a different result. Drinking! So to be restored to sanity meant not drinking. So here was a power that made it possible for an alcoholic like me to not have to drink, which was restoring me to sanity. See, I asked for help and he sent me to you, because here was the power that he provided to enable a drunk like me to not have to drink. So if you've got an understanding of a God of your own understanding, and most people don't, but they say they do, if you've got an understanding of a power greater than yourself, thank it for Alcoholics Anonymous, because here's the power right here, right now. Me plus you is a power greater than me. You plus us is a power greater than you. Together we can do what we couldn't do alone. I couldn't stay sober, you couldn't stay sober, but together we could stay sober. Wow. That's why if ever you've seen it, the word me, M-E, if you flip it over, it becomes we, don't it? We could do what I couldn't do. Here was a power greater than myself, provided by the old man to help a drunk like me not have to drink, which was restoring me to sanity. Wow. That's why I know that God and the power are different. This power is not the totalness of God. So once I've been restored to sanity of not drinking, I can then make a straight decision in three. But as the 12 and 12 says, we've walked our minds into such an obsession for destructive drinking that only an act of providence can remove it from us. Well, most people never do one and two properly, so they still got a warped mind. So they make a decision in three with a warped mind. One and two is supposed to unwarp our mind to become capable of making a straight decision in three. But the very first line of the first step is, who cares to admit complete defeat? Practically no one, of course. And you know what? Took me a long time to realise what it was saying. Who cares to admit complete defeat? Practically no one, of course. Well, it took me a long time to realise that if practically no one, of course, cared to, practically no one, of course, does, so there's practically no one, of course, who has, so there's practically no one, of course, to ask, how the hell do I? But when the new guy does go up to some well-meaning person and ask him, the guy doesn't say, no good asking me, pal, I'm in the practically no one, of course, department. He says, lip-flapping party line bullshit like, keep coming back one day at a time. Don't drink no matter what. And the poor dude's tearing his arse out and he can't understand why he can't stay sober. You know? So in one and two, there's no such, you know, there's no such mention of the word God. And yet, the power is there, isn't it? We got it right here, right now. When it's written by any spiritual readings that you want to write, read. Doesn't matter, the Quran, the Torah, the Old and the New Testament, the Bible, wherever you want to read spiritual writings, it's written, when any two are gathered in my name, there I will be in your midst. And that's what happens here, doesn't it? When two alcoholics come together for the purpose of recovery, the third factor, and without that third factor it don't count. You know, without the third factor, you can go down any skid row in any town in any country in the world and see drunks hanging out together. Drunks have always hung out together, ain't no big deal about that. But we got the third factor, see, which is for the purpose of recovery. When two alcoholics come together for the purpose of recovery, God comes in our midst and produces a power greater than either of us. So it's produced by us, but it's greater than us, and we can absolutely depend upon it. And in the beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous, it says, with this attitude, you cannot fail. Pretty good guarantee, don't you think? I liken it to this water we're drinking. You know the formula for water, H2O. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen, water, life-sustaining. It's the same here, isn't it? Two drunks, one God, power. Power over alcohol. Pretty good stuff, don't you think? I don't walk around claiming I'm powerless today. I know some of you guys do. It's all I hear in meetings most of the time. Powerless, powerless, powerless. Powerless, powerless over everything. Powerless over people, places and things. Powerless, powerless. The word powerless is only mentioned once in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Once. And that's in the formation of the very first step. Otherwise it ain't mentioned, powerless. Power is mentioned over and over and over. New power has flowed in. We have recovered and been given the power to help the next guy. Praying only for knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry it out. Another time. Power, power, power. Power's mentioned over and over. Powerless is mentioned once. And all the drunks are walking around going, powerless, powerless. Strange that, isn't it? Powerless. I got so much bloody power over alcohol, I don't know what to do with it, for Christ's sake. I said to my sponsor, what shall I do with all this power over alcohol? He said, give it away. I said, wow. Think about it. In and of myself, I was helpless and hopeless and powerless, and I asked for help, and the old man came into my life and sent me to you. Here was a 12-step spiritual fellowship. Here, you with the one day. Why don't you sit down and listen? See, I asked for help and he came into my life and sent me to you. It was a 12-step spiritual fellowship. You guys introduced me to a beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous. A big book, you called it. B-I-G-B-O-O-K. Believing in God beats our old knowledge. In the beautiful book was a program. P-R-O-G-R-A-M. People relying on God, relaying a message. You call it a 12 steps problem, program. S-P-S-T-E-P-S. Solution to every problem, sober. It was our solutions, saving our lives using the inventory or needed steps, solutions. It said if you want to quit drinking and drugging and you don't replace the drink with the program, you'll go crazy, you'll go nuts. I said, what do you mean nuts? It said, N-U-T-S, not using the steps. Remember, you deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it's too much for us. So get a sponsor. S-P-O-N-S-O-R, sober person offering newcomers suggestions on recovery. That's what a sponsor was. Holy. Why do I want a sponsor? To help you stay sober. What do you mean sober? S-O-B-E-R, son of a bitch, everything's real. That's what a sober was. Wow. Powerless? Why would I say I'm powerless? I spoke in Scottsdale just recently and guy came up to me. He said, I told my sponsor what you said about powerless. I said, yeah. He said, he didn't agree with you. I said, yeah, a lot of useless sponsors don't. Well, you think sponsors ain't bloody useless? Most of them are. I said, what didn't he agree with? He said, powerless. Wow. We got so much bloody power over it. To me, when I hear people walking around Alcoholics Anonymous claiming powerless, powerless, to me, it's the disease getting them to deny the power that's in their life. Why do we do that? We've got to get next to the power, the conscious contact. I want double up of everything. A, B, C, D. I want AA, BB, CC, DD. AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. BB, Big Book. CC, Conscious Contact. DD, Don't Drink. We got it right here, right now, haven't we? Don't go around like denying it. And I'm glad that I heard that. And I'm glad that, you know, I heard the stuff. And I'm glad that the guy yelled at me loud enough in that very first meeting. You know, and I'm glad that today people call it abusive. But, you know, I'm glad that he yelled at me loud enough to get past the voices that were already talking to me. Who relates to the voices that talk to them? You know them voices. Them voices that just said, what voices? Them bloody voices. You know them voices? Give me that water, aren't they? You know the voices. Sometimes the voices are sitting on the edge of the bed, says, I'm glad you're awake, I've been waiting to talk to you. You know what I'm saying? Guys, you're crazy! You know the voices. You're a piece of shit, that's what you are. You're going to get fired today, ha ha ha. She's doing your best friend, he's getting some. Crikey, crikey! That's why today I've learned. I don't have no conversations with anybody who ain't in the room. I mean, because it drives you nuts, doesn't it? Because you're like me. Because apart from anything else, I don't hear things right. I got a hearing problem. I was talking to my man up there, the one who just gave me the marble. You know, they gave me the marble because I lost all mine. You know. Some little delicate dudette come walking by. She said, excuse me. I said, seduce you, I'm talking to this guy. She said, I said, excuse me. So she said, seduce me. I don't hear things right. Anybody else got a hearing problem? I never have. I've never heard things right. I've got selective hearing. Years before I got here, I never heard things right. So people said, you're weird. Any other weirdos here? All my life, he said, what is wrong with you? What the hell's wrong with you? You're goddamn weird, you are. Do you know that? You're weird, you are. What the hell's wrong with you? I wouldn't get it. What the hell are they talking about? What is wrong with you? And they would ask me what's wrong with me as if I knew. What is wrong with you? What the hell's wrong with you? They'd ask me what's wrong with me as if I could give them an answer. Oh, actually, I've got a twofold disease. It's an obsession of the mind and an allergy of the body. I can't control my drinking. Don't know what's wrong with me. What the hell's wrong with you? Why do you drink like you do? Why don't you drink like I do? Because I don't know, see? I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing about nothing. I'm from Northwest London. I don't know. You probably picked up on that, right? This is the way I speak. Alcohol never done this to me, folks. And I don't know nothing. I don't know what's wrong with me. Years before I got here, I don't hear this stuff. When I was a young dude living in my mum's house, I would come home drunk. And my mum, I mean, she heard everything that went on in that house, you know. My mum was a dynamic lady. She still is. She's 85 years old. But, I mean, I really did think she was born with eyes in her ass, for Christ's sake. Because she never missed a trick. Didn't matter what went on in that house, she knew about it. And I would come home sneaking around, stumble bumming around, and she would be in her bed and she'd hear me, of course, and she'd yell out down the stairs, drunk again, son! And I'd yell back, so am I, Mum. You know? She'd say, I'm not bloody drunk, I've been in bed since 8 o'clock, the hell's wrong with you? And I still wouldn't get it. I think, well, why did she say she was drunk then? She's messing with me is what she is. Because I don't hear things right, you know. Years later, when I get to Alcoholics Anonymous, guy said, get a job. I said, what? He said, get a job. I said, what? He said, get a job. I said, I don't know what you mean. He said, go to work. I said, what? He said, go to work. Go to work, get a job, go to work. I said, I don't know how I'd get there. Get a bus. What? Get a bus. I don't do buses. Never took a bus. I'm smart, but I don't know how to get a bus. I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll rehearse getting a bus. I walked down to Sunset, stood at a bus stop. There's buses going by. Lots of people on them. I thought, I've got to be able to get a bus. Buses are full up with people. Bus came along, I jumped on the bus. Do today, put some money in the deal, in the trap. I went, oh yeah, sure, put it in. Stood there waiting for something to happen. And the bus pulled away. I went flying down the bus. I landed up against this chick with these big ones. She said, move your hands. Well, I don't hear shit right. I went, sure, squeeze, squeeze, squeeze. They threw me off the bus. All right for you. No. I don't know nothing about nothing. I don't know I'm weird. I don't know what to do or how to do it. I don't know about walking in the sunlight of the Spirit. How do I know about that? You know, the God of my understanding that I was raised with, you know, was a fearful, threatening, punishing God, for heaven's sake. You know, you said, let go and let God. I said, what? He said, turn it over to God. I said, what? He said, pray to God. I said, pray to God. If I pray to him, he'll know where I am. You know? I've been ducking God for years. Why would I pray to somebody who was going to strike me blind for playing with the old ding-a-ling? Oh, you heard that as well, huh? They said, don't touch that, you'll go blind. God will strike you blind. Well, you know I did anyway. When I found out how good it felt, I thought, well, I'll risk one eye. You're very sick, you're very sick. But I do today. I know about walking in the sunlight of the Spirit. Why wouldn't I? You know? God's taught me well. You know, and I feel it my duty, especially here, even here in, after Layla speaking today, 21 years, the lady just gone out and had to give up her sobriety. She's like completely wacky on Vicodins and other drugs. See, they say that we shouldn't mention drugs in Alcoholics Anonymous in case an alcoholic, you know, came to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting and heard a lot of drug talk and didn't relate and then went out and didn't come back because he didn't relate. Well, you know what? Don't clap on your own. Someone will throw you a fish. I have to live with me, you know what I mean? I apologize. This is after 19 years. Can you imagine what a smart ass I was when I was drinking? But you know what, in 19 years of working with many thousands of alcoholics and addicts and standing on the firing line every single day, I have never once heard an alcoholic say he ain't coming back to AA because he went to an AA meeting, he heard a lot of drug talk and he didn't relate, so he ain't going back. I've never heard that. We have buried thousands that came here and didn't hear that it was absolutely essential that we didn't do other mind-altering chemicals. And if you're an alcoholic in here tonight, if you're an alcoholic in here today, yes, we're talking about alcohol, and yes, we're talking about alcoholism, and yes, we have a singleness of purpose, and that's to carry the message to the person who still suffers. You don't look like none of you lot are suffering. I'm glad to see. But you know what? When I got to Alcoholics Anonymous on January the 15th, 1983, so sick, I never heard what I was supposed to hear. It's a strange thing. In 1953, in Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, in 1953 in North Hollywood, alcoholics in Alcoholics Anonymous meetings started Narcotics Anonymous. In 1953 in the Radford Group in North Hollywood. This is all documented, you don't have to just believe me. Alcoholics in Alcoholics Anonymous meetings started Narcotics Anonymous. When I came along in 1983, beginning of 1983, Cocaine Anonymous was just being founded by some good friends of mine at the time. And I'm blessed and grateful to have been around at that time. Because I came to Alcoholics Anonymous on January the 15th, 1983, and never drank from that day to this. And I still haven't. Not a drop has passed my lips from that day to this, and I never came to Alcoholics Anonymous to quit drinking, knew nothing about Alcoholics Anonymous, never knew what it was to be an alcoholic, never certainly stood at no turning point, don't even know where the bloody point is. But I never drank. But I told you I do lots of other stuff, and I do. And so I carried on doing all of that. I was not drinking in Alcoholics Anonymous, but still doing all those other mind-altering chemicals. And there's an old saying around here, there's no greater pain than an alcoholic who relapses or slips and goes out and has a belly full of booze and a head full of AA. Well, I'll give you pain worse than that. You stick around these rooms and get a sober belly without a head full of AA, and you will hurt so bad. You don't want to do that. You don't want to hurt that bad. Because that's what happens around here. Alcoholics get clean and sober and don't replace the alcohol with the program, and they get in so much pain just being sober, they can't stand it, and they have to drink again. Sober people drink again. People living in sobriety don't. And that's what we got here. We got a way out that we can all agree upon. And I came here and I never drank. But I carried on doing all the other dope that I do because I do it. Like I like pot, for example. Anybody here smoke a little pot? Anybody smoke a lot? Yeah. I ain't got a problem with pot. Pot only does two things to me. It makes me horny, makes me hungry. Nothing wrong with that, except that some mornings you wake up with a sore arm on a bed full of pizza crust. But apart from that, you know. Oh, you do that sick stuff, huh? I like speed crystal crank. Anybody do a little speed crystal crank? Anybody do a lot? Yeah. Did it make your dick disappear too? You ain't going to get that in no Betty Ford manual. Fire up some crystal, your dick will disappear. Yeah. Funny how the ladies seem to relate to that. All the dudes are going, not me, rock on, Tommy. The ladies are going, sure, yeah. But if you're alcoholic in here tonight, hear this and hear this good, because I never. It has to include all other mind-altering chemicals that affect you from the neck up. We have to be clean and sober, unaffected. Page 86 tells me that. I cannot afford to give God the finger and expect to get recovery. And in 1983, my good friend Johnny Siegel, who started Cocaine Anonymous and who OD'd and died 2 years ago, he was writing out the formula for Cocaine Anonymous, and he wrote, "We admitted we were powerless over cocaine and all other mind-altering chemicals." I said, "Hey, John, you can't write that." He said, "Yes, I can." I said, "No, we took a group conscience. We're going to take Cocaine Anonymous and run it on the same length as Alcoholics Anonymous because it's proven that it works." I said, "You can't write cocaine and all other mind." "Yes," he said, "I can. I'm going to. That's what I believe it ought to be." I said, "No, I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous and I don't drink, but I still do all the other shit." He said, "Yes, that's why you're bloody insane," he said. I mean, "Boy, you've got to give it." "Yes," he said, "everything. That's why I celebrate my clean and sober birthday today on May 8th, which is the day after May 7th, which is the day after I did like mind-altering chemicals of any kind. I've been clean and sober from all mind-altering chemicals because I couldn't afford to be giving God the finger like I was, and I never knew I was giving God the finger. I never knew I was giving God the finger by taking a mind-altering chemical, but what else would you call it? On page 86 of the beautiful book, it says our thought life will be on a much higher plane, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Well, if he gave me a brain to use, he gave me the brain he wants me to have. He don't make no mistakes, and if he gave me a brain he wants me to have, he gave you a brain he wants you to have. Well, what else would you call it but giving God the finger by taking a mind-altering chemical of any kind? If he gave me the mind he wants me to have, it's like saying, "Well, thanks for my life and my girlfriend back and my bank balance and all that, but that mind you gave me, I don't think you did a very good job with that. I think I'll take over from here. I like that mind you gave, so I'm going to take this mind-altering substance to change that mind you gave me." What else would you call it but giving God the finger? Can't afford to give God the finger and get any recovery around here. So it has to include all mind-altering chemicals. And you know what? I'm sorry to have to tell you, people like Johnny, I miss him dearly. He was a good friend. Couldn't do for himself, but he helped me do several times. We have people dying and relapsing because they're not hearing that it has to include all this stuff. Five times in the last year and a half, I've spoken at ICKIPAR conventions. You know what ICKIPAR conventions are, probably? ICKIPAR, International Convention of Young People in AA. They have them all over. They're good to see it. You know, five times. These are the young troops coming through the ranks of Alcoholics Anonymous, folks. These are alcoholics, young troops coming through the ranks of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was at one meeting where a 10-year-old girl took a 3-year birthday cake. Some of these guys are 25 years old and got 10 years of sobriety. The young dudes coming through the ranks. In five conventions as big as this, I always ask the one question. Is there anybody in the room that just and only drank alcohol? And in five conventions of young alcoholics in young people's meetings, not one hand has been raised. What am I going to tell them young troops? To get out, go somewhere else? No. And if you're an alcoholic who doesn't understand that, don't tell them to get out, go somewhere. Direct them to people like me and others like me who may be able to help them. Alcoholics who did alcohol. I love my sponsor. I love my sponsor. I didn't go for somebody who had what I wanted or I related to. I went to somebody who was opposite to what I was to teach me different to what I do. My sponsor's he's a retired now, but he's a retired appellant court judge. I love him with a love that I don't know how to describe. Been my sponsor for 15 years. Teaches me how to apply these principles to all my affairs. Like when I asked him what it meant, principles before personalities. He said, in your case, Mick, it's these principles before your personality. But these principles before every aspect of your own personality, he said. But he teaches me how to do things around here. How to apply these principles to all my affairs. Now, I don't know about you guys here in Reno. Perhaps you're not sick like us guys down there in LA. But our affairs seem to get quite muddled. I've seen some of you vamping around in here tonight looking for those affairs. You know, looking for Miss Right or Mr. Right. Or Mr. Right Now, I do, you know. We get to apply these principles to all our affairs, especially our personal relationships. I wrote a word for relationships. RELATIONSHIP. Really exciting love affair turns into outrageous nightmare. Sobriety hangs in peril. Yeah. Oh, you are sick like us down there, huh? You know, that laughter that you hear, that laughter, the language of the heart, H-E-A-R-T, healing, enjoying and recovering together, the language of the heart, the music that we hear, the laughter of one alcoholic relating to another alcoholic, for heaven's sake. What a treat. That's why I keep coming back here, that's why I do what I do. You know, those folk out there, those other folk out there, they don't understand us. That's why we come together, to do together what we couldn't do apart. My own mum, love her dearly. She, you know, she loves me dearly. But she don't understand me. She don't know me as well as you guys who've never met me. Every year I go home to London, England to see my mum. I'm going next week. I leave here on Sunday. On Monday, I fly to London and then 2 days in London, then go to Galway for the All-Ireland Convention. You know? And I go home, and every year I go home to my mum's house, and as I told you, she's 85, and whatever year it is, like this year, I go home, I knock on my mum's door, say, Mum, I'm 19 years sober. She says, so is the cat. She don't give me no pat on the back for not doing something I shouldn't have done anyway. And she ain't sick like you lot. She don't laugh at seemingly hopeless situations out of the past. Like my favourite page of the big book this week. My favourite page of the big book this week. Page 132. I love page 132. But I love the bottom of the page. Page 132. So we think cheerfulness and laughter make for usefulness. Outsiders are sometimes shocked when we burst into merriment over a seemingly tragic experience out of the past. But why shouldn't we laugh? We have recovered and have been given the power to help others. Wow, what a gift. To recover from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, been granted the power to help the next guy. What a gift. What's the theme of our conference this week? Carrying this message, a primary purpose. Wow, what greater gift is there? Power. My mum don't laugh at seemingly hopeless situations out of the past. She never used to laugh when I come home and puke on the cat. Have you ever puked on a cat? That's weird shit, I'll tell you. You come home and you can feel it coming. Because I'm a puker too. Any other pukers here? Ain't no dribble-ass puker like... I'm a directional puker, me, like... Large chunks, projectiles. You come home, you can feel it coming because you know it's coming. You swallow it back down. Shut up. But then you know it's coming. It's going to be a gush. Right on the cat. You look at it weird like that. You think, oh, I don't remember eating that. Then the cat gets up and runs off. Bits of carrot hanging on it and shit, you know. That's weird, isn't it? Where does that carrot come from? I can promise you in my entire life I never once sat down and ate a diced carrot. Yeah, every time I puked, there the bugger was. Carrot and corn. Carrot and corn. Cat ro- running off with carrot and corn all over it, yeah. My mum never laughed at that shit. You know, my telephone number is 818-RU-SOBER. 818 area code, not 800, you cheap bugger. 818-RU-SOBER. And you can reach me anytime, wherever I am over the world. You can reach me on that number. 818-RU, like Toys R Us, S-O-B-E-R. And I leave you that number because when I got home from that very first meeting on that very first day on January the 15th, 1983, dazed and confused, I got home and I had two telephone numbers in my hand. Now, I know you don't, but I did call one of those numbers. I called the number and the dude answered the phone. I said, I don't know who you are, pal. I said, but I got your number in my hand. Oh, yeah, he said, I can tell from your accent. I saw you at the meeting today. I said, oh, was you at the meeting? He said, yeah, I gave you the number. I said, what about them meetings? He said, what about them? I said, how long have you been going to them meetings? He said, 4 months. I said, 4 months? What does that mean? He said, I'm 4 months sober. I said, wow. I said, you go to them meetings at night? He went, yeah, every night. I said, oh, can I go to one of them meetings with you tonight? He went, well, normally, yes, but he said, I've made arrangements to go to a movie tonight, so I'm not going to a meeting tonight. I said, oh, all right, then, it don't matter. Went all little and rejected again, you know how we do. And he picked up on it like we do. He went, holy shit, what is wrong with me? I said, what's the matter? He said, you may have just saved my life. I said, no, I never done nothing. He said, I'm 4 months sober and a newcomer wants to go with me, and I tell him, no, I'm going to a movie. Holy shit! Where do you live? I'm coming round to pick you up. I said, what about your movie? He said, you're much more important than a movie. I said, I am? He said, yes. My best friends had just told me to piss off. Here was a guy who I didn't even know telling me I was more important than his plans. And holy shit. And he came round. I went out to his car. He was a weird bugger too. I went out to his car. He had a little red Fiat car, but it was all decked out like a Mercedes with a big emblem and wheels and shit. I didn't know it. I was getting my first lesson in alcoholic grandiosity, for God's sake. But he took me to a meeting and got me a beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous. A third edition, not like this fourth edition. I still got it, and it's got lots of miles on it too, and I love it. And you know what? I told you I work in recovery, and we got a lot of our troops, and we do things like the book says. There's a vast amount of fun about it all, and we do things together, and we have a lot of fun about it. And a little while ago, we were down there in Balboa Park in San Fernando Valley, and we had a picnic down there, and a whole bunch of us went to this picnic and had a good time. And I was walking around the picnic, and I bumped into old Zach, as a matter of fact, and was pleased to see him. I said, oh, Zach, how you doing, man? It's good to see you again. What you doing on this side of the hill? He said, I'm speaking at the meeting today. I said, far out. And guess what, folks? He's still 4 months ahead of me. See, it's a program of action, isn't it? It's a program of action. The actions we take. I got news for you, too. If you're wondering whether you is or whether you isn't a real alcoholic in here tonight, I want you to know. Here's a pretty good clue. If you're not sure whether you're alcoholic in here tonight, you better not have laughed. Because they say, if you're laughing, you're relating. And if you're relating to a sicko like me, there ain't no doubt about you, pal. Because I don't get through to no well people. Well people don't laugh at my shit. You people laugh with me, you see. I don't cuss so much from the podium anymore. I throw in a few shits here and there. But they're messages to me. I wrote a word for shit. S-H-I-T. Simply how I think. Some of you lot think I'm full of it, so I wrote a word for you guys too. Crap. C-R-A-P. Carrying resentments against people. Well, I'm staying here. You told me keep coming back. And I have, and I'm going to. I ain't going nowhere. I'm staying right here where I belong. I'm staying right here where I was sent on January the 15th, 1983, in desperation and despair. When I hit bottom and asked for help, he sent me to you. Here's where he wants me. Here's where I was sent. Here's where I like to be. Here's where I'm better off. I'm Mickey Bush. I'm an alcoholic. I'm in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. I know what's wrong with me, and I know what to do about it. I'm staying right here with you, where I belong, where I ought to be. I'll risk the Pacific Group not liking me. I'm staying right here with you. And I told you I travel, and I travel a lot. I've been all over the world drunk and sober. And no matter what program you're in or whatever recovery aspect you're talking about, the two most prolific statements that are made all over the recovery world, no matter where you are, the two most prolific statements that's mentioned in 12-step recovery, in all phases of recovery, no matter what program it is. And I want to just take this opportunity to welcome and thank our Al-Anon friends, our lovely Al-Anon family groups. You know, I really appreciate that. And it's a pity our Alateens are just, you know, even in South Africa, we had Alateen groups. And if you're an alcoholic with Alateens, you know, don't miss the boat. Let them Alateens that you've got, those teenagers, know about Alateen and encourage them to become. Don't miss the boat, folks. I love our Al-Anon groups, our family. F-A-M-I-L-Y. Father and mother, I love you. Our Al-Anon family groups, you know, they got the best deal in town. They got our beautiful, wonderful 12-step program, and they can drink. I knew they were here because I could feel myself being released, you know. My Al-Anon sponsor told me to, God grant me the grace to keep my tongue in my face. You know? But no matter what 12-step program you go from, you know, the two most prolific statements is, keep coming back one day at a time. And guess what, folks? Neither one of those statements is in the beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous. But please do it. God bless.